Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through, so have no fear. Oh, God can and God will, no matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win. Mama prays for me. Late night coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
I die a little every day, so I keep pressing down as I answer your call. Give me more of you.
Good morning, and welcome to September the 14th. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are breaking the yokes of bondage. Again, I want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. Certainly, I want to welcome each and every one of you to the blog on this morning. We have been working on a series entitled Moving Forward in Battle, Developing the Skills Needed to Win the Battle. And of course, today we're going to talk about the battle. Last week we talked about winning or knowing your enemy, dealing with the Moabites and Ammonites, who they were and where they came from, and just knowing who your enemy is. So basically, I want to announce before I get into the meat of the lesson that Amazing Grace School of Ministry registration is now open. We're going to have an exciting lesson. Everybody can participate. You can give me an email at Dr. Carey, PhD, at yahoo.com if you are interested, or you can give me a call at 309-750-7584. The classes right now are only 6 weeks, and certainly the date is coming soon. So again, if you're interested, if you want to register, if you want to say, Dr. Carey, I want to take the classes, give me a call and let me know, and we can move forward in that. So the battle today, again, let's move into the lesson. I've been dealing with 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I encourage you to read this material. I'm not going to go through all of the verses with 2 Chronicles, but this is the base of my scriptures. So we're going to deal with 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 4, and I'm going to skip down. There's a lot in this information. Remember last week we were talking about verse 1, the Moabites and the Ammonon, and which were children of Lot. And we have to understand that the Bible is so much in the Bible, and it builds it. It connects itself with the day's time, and we think that the Bible is just not relevant, but that is just the enemy masking the truth of who God is. And Satan don't want this world to understand that God still is king and he still is Lord. And we're certainly going to talk about the battle. Well, let's read the scripture, shall we? And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the court. Now, if you look at Judah, if you go back again, we're going back and we're looking at historical facts, because this is important to understand. When we look at Judah, if we go back, and I know this is probably pretty simple, and you probably say, Dr. Carey, I know all this, then thank the Lord, praise God, hallelujah. Judah, Jehoshaphat was a descendant, of course, of David, and he was king over Judah. Now, he was one of the kings that did right in the sight of the Lord. And, you know, I thank God. If you got a relationship, we must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we don't have a relationship with God, if we don't call on the name of the Lord in this day and time, y'all know we messed up. But Judah was the tribe. It was one of the tribes. And, of course, this was Leah's son. And Judah means to praise. It means to praise God. After she was looking to her husband for admiration and love, she finally said, I'm just going to praise God. And we have to understand, praise is a mighty weapon in our weapons of warfare when we're going against the enemy. I don't know why the Lord keeps bringing me back to our weapons of warfare. And when we're dealing with the battle, when we're dealing with knowing who our enemy is, we also have to know who we are. We are children of the King. We have been bought with a price. We are the elect of God, and angels surround us and protect us. Hallelujah. So that verse 5, I believe I did read verse 5, and it says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Now, I want to jump down to where we at, or the main scriptures that we're dealing with. In 17, it says, you shall not need to fight in the battle, yet set yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go up against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, I want to go back up because I want to read 15, and it says, and he said, hark ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason for this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it belongs to God. And of course we hear those voices all the time. Not voices, but we read these scriptures all the time, and we this is a common scripture. Well, the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we need to understand that there was a lot to do in this whole chapter. It was a lot. First of all, Jehoshaphat feared, and after he feared, the Lord spoke to him, and right away he changed his countenance and he began to praise. And next week we're going to praise. Hallelujah. But we're talking about the battle. We're talking about, you know, what we're going through. We're talking about situations. And certainly there are situations and there are battles that we're going through now that we don't understand, and we're asking God, when will you deliver me out of this battle? We're just like Jehoshaphat. We are fearful. And the word said he was fearful, but God said, you don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid, because the Lord thou God will go before you. You know, I thank God that God goes before us. God is right there in the midst of us, and he's moving situations. He's moving our problems. He's getting us to the next plateau where we can stand before a people and say that God is my deliverer. God has fought for me. So another scripture that we're dealing with is Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Now, I go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 12 verses. I talk about this. Please don't get tired of me talking about it. But we have to understand our mindset has to change. Our mindset has to understand that this is not a flesh and blood fight. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And this is the New King James Version. Now, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So I've been given definitions. So let's get to the definitions. Armed, furnished with weapons, something that provides security. I want to wrestle to is defined to fight with something by holding or pushing or struggling to move, deal with, or control something. And then we want to talk about the battlefield. The battlefield is an area where the battle is fought. And a lot of times that battle can be fought in our minds. Yeah, it can. Now, the battle is an encounter between two opposing forces, armed, fighting, and combat. And sometimes that battle can be those opposing forces of doubt, of insecurity, of believing that God does not love us. All of that stuff and all those underlying issues that we haven't dealt with. And when we look at Psalms 51 and David talks about his sins and asking God for cleansing, we have to begin to seek the Lord, because that could be the biggest fight that we have in our minds. And not to say that we're not going through, because Satan is going to throw stuff at us, because We are the children of God. You know, Satan is trying us, and there are times when God will do us like Job and allow Satan to buffet us. But then there are times when the issues of insecurity and those issues of our past and our bloodline and those curses will try and those issues will try to come. And those our forefathers' sins will try to come to afflict us and cause us pain. But we are the children of God. We have been bought with a price. He sent his only begotten Son that he may die on the cross for us. So it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter the situations, because God said that we win. All right? So when we look at the war, a war is a state of open and armed conflict between nations, states, and or parties. Warfare, the military operation between the enemies. So we're talking about this month, the military operation of how to deal with the enemy and how to be successful. We talked about who the enemy is. Now we talked about where the Moabites and the Ammonites came from. We know that they came from Lot. We also see that God is able to heal, to deliver, and sanctify anybody he pleases when we look at Ruth. So now let's look at what times we're living in. We're living in a time where it seems that things are getting scarier and scarier. We are living in the last days. We're living in a time where it says in Timothy, and this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm not going to hit all the verses, but the first verse says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." And, of course, now you see that we are living in a time where various things are happening. Certainly we see that the time that people are doing acts of good, acts of kindness. So many people are breaking out to do acts of kindness. But we look at God and we look at who God is. You know, that is something that God, we should do automatically, because we are children of a God that his attribute is love. But now it looks like the world is highlighting it and making it seem like it's it's not the norm. So because it's not the norm, let us praise it. But it should be the norm. But Satan is here to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. He's here to take the glory away from the Lord. So we have to understand where and what we're living in. We're living in a day where it looks like disaster is happening all around us, even in the city of Illinois. When you look at Waukegan, when you look at the floods, hallelujah, you see that there were homes that people had to be rescued from their homes. The flood waters there, people couldn't drive down the street. Their cars was getting stalled. This is in the city of Illinois. You didn't think that these kind of disasters would be happening. But we're living in a time where God is saying that the saints need to stand holy. We need to stand righteous. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and we're going to talk about that. But we need to understand the battle. We need to understand that we are leaving this world, and we need to prepare for that. We need to tell a dying world that Christ still reigns, that it is heaven, and there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And you need to determine where you're going after this flesh is dead. So the scriptures talk about the times that we're living in, and certainly it talks about earthquakes. It talks about wars. You see all the flooding that's happened. You see all the natural destruction that's taking place. God is still in control. However, with everything that's going on, Christ is on his way back. And therefore, the people of God, we need to stand. We need to tell this dying world that there is a heaven and there is certainly a hell. So we're talking about the battle. This is, although we have natural disasters, although we have people killing, stealing, and just shooting people for no apparent reason. The young lady that was shot and killed, and her children was in the car. And, of course, when you, it hurts my heart to see the people they catch for these crimes. And it's like they're young themselves. And it's like useless. It's just like, you know, Lord, the young people that are getting caught up into so many things, so many issues, so much ungodliness, that we need to pray and continue to pray. Because when we look at those, we see victims and we see the people that are being charged for the murders, we are crying for those. The people that have lost their families and those that have done the deed, because certainly they lack understanding. So, think it not strange, people, that the things that we're going through, 2 Peter 4:12, we are the people of God and we are in a battle. And because we're in a battle, we're not talking about the natural things, or I know we see things that are going on around us, but this battle, the battle that we're fighting, the killing, the spirit of murder, the spirit that are attacking, that is attacking you, this is spiritual warfare. The battle is a spiritual battle. In other words, we are in spiritual warfare between Satan's kingdom. And when we look at Ephesians and that verse alone, I spoke with 6:12, we have to remember that it's a spiritual battle. That even though we walk in the flesh and blood, there is a spirit. There is a spirit behind everything. God, when he made man and he made female and he blew into us. And when he blew into us, he blew into us the breath of life. Now, when we go back and when we are dead and when we're gone, this body will die, but the spirit and the soul shall live on. So we're talking about a realm that we cannot see on a physical level. So we think the thing we try to see with our natural eyes, but we have to see spiritual things with our spiritual eyes. We have to tap into the spirit of discernment. So when we look at spiritual warfare, and I know that this may be this is just a reminder for some of you, but we have to talk about it because we're talking about the battle belongs to God. And we can't talk about the battle belonging to God without looking at the nature of the battle. So spiritual warfare is a conflict between good and evil. It's the ongoing battle between two opposing kingdoms, God's kingdom, which is good, and Satan's kingdom, which is evil. It is a spiritual conflict. So spiritual warfare also manifests, we can also see it in the natural realm of flesh and blood. Humans are caught in the midst of this conflict and may participate in struggles on either side. Now, I said you can't see it because you can't see this battle. Now, when you look at the conflict, it means that man are motivated between either God or the enemy. So when you see the spirit of murder, when you see the spirit of people that are attacking one another, it's the Satan, it's the opposing forces of Satan, the fact that they don't understand and they're not on God's side. When you're on God's side, there is a moral you begin to answer to the Lord. And when you begin to answer to the Lord, there is a consciousness that begins to develop because you want to do right in the sight of God. Like Jehoshaphat, you want to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. Now, Satan's kingdom don't care nothing about pleasing the Lord. Matter of fact, they want to do every ungodly thing they can. So when you look at the manifestations of this opposing spiritual warfare in people, that's how you see it. And they don't understand what's motivating them. But when they begin to see, when they begin to get clarity, when they begin to know and begin to come on the Lord's side, that's when understanding comes. When you begin to read the Bible, when the Bible says there are 10 commandments and I want you to follow, thou should not kill, thou should not steal, then you begin to understand there is a standard that we must live by in order to live on after this body dies. So Satan's kingdom has spread its wings out in all areas of life. Satan's influence is in the classroom, the boardroom, the hospital room, and even the courtroom. Injustice is a common practice. The system is corrupt. You see Satan's influences on the television, movies, in our homes, in our schools, and most definitely in our politics. If you don't, look at the current administration. Look at who rules, who's in the highest office that we can have. And yet there's a prediction that he will have 4 more years. We need the help of the Lord. And of course, the Lord is still in control, and we as the saints of God, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about what the enemy does because the Lord will always fight our battles. And that's where we're at today. We're talking about the battle. We're talking about two opposing forces. We're talking about the situation where we're living at in today's time. Because in order to be able to deal effectively in spiritual warfare or effectively in the battle, we have to understand that God has us. And because we're understanding and we're looking at our situation not in our physical eyes, but in our spiritual eyes, we have five senses, you know, and those senses are gates. Those systems are gateways, opening by which the world around us can influence us. Our eye gate, our senses, our taste, our smell, our ears, our touch, all of those are gates in which we operate. But there is a sixth sense, and that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. I often call him the power arm of God because he gives us knowledge once we read the Word of God, once we study the Word of God, once we apply this Word to our lives, and we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. When I don't understand the Word, Holy Spirit, give me revelation and knowledge, because I want to walk up right before you. I want to know you. I want to know you in an intimate way. So when I go out from my house, I put on the whole armor, but I've asked God for direction. God, in all my ways, I acknowledge you, direct my path, because it is certainly, I need to have that now. I need to know which way to go. I need to know when I walk out my house, I need to go right or left. Even as I go to work, I need to go with God's direction. If God say wait at the stop sign or stop light, if I'm driving, and he say, Spirit, I need to wait a little bit. And you wait, and there's a speeding car that runs the red light, and you waited because the angels of the Lord were encamping round about you, and the Spirit was giving direction because the Lord knew what was coming. Hallelujah. And the Lord knows what is coming. Hallelujah. If we set ourselves to just talk with him, if we set ourselves to commune with him, if we set ourselves to have a closer relationship with God, I walk with you, Lord. I talk with you, Lord. I want to know you, God. I want to know you more. So when I wake up in the morning, I give you an opportunity to have space in my morning. I thank you for waking me up, God, and giving me the activities of my limbs. I thank you, God, for moving every obstacle that Satan will try to hinder me with on this day. Don't know why? Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God is speaking. So the world is not set on Christian values. Even though they're planning for it, even though they're picking up this notion of helping one another, thank God, God is getting the glory. Hallelujah, because certainly it is better to give than to receive. That's in the Word. Hallelujah. But everybody is picking it up. And of course, it seems like the media and the news is getting a look at what they're doing and patting them on the back. Hallelujah. But the Scripture says it's better to give than to receive. And certainly if you're doing it as unto God, then you get no acknowledgement from this world, because God is acknowledging your deeds. And when God acknowledges your deeds, it's in the Word. And I'll find it for you next week. When God acknowledges it, then he's blessing you. But if the world acknowledges you and gives you the kudos that you need from it, then you've got your blessings. Hallelujah. So the world is not set on Christian values anymore, but how much money you can get, steal, kill, and cheat. The richer want to get richer, and the poor want to get poor. If anybody looked at the Democratic debates, you see, you know, at one point there used to be a middle class, but now it seems like the middle class is being done away with, and you got the richer and the poor. And it's you either fit in one of those categories, and there's so much going on in this world. But I want to let you know that God is still in control. If you can say amen, say amen, because God is still in control. We have read in the Bible where it states that the battle belongs to God. Jehoshaphat had put his people on fast, and they went before the Lord in prayer. And he told them, I'm paraphrasing it, don't worry, I, the Lord, got it. So when we read these verses and when we begin to read 2 Chronicles 2 and 17, talks about the battle that you don't have to fight in. And Deuteronomy tells the believers that God will fight for us. Yeah, I know my time is getting moving on, but I need to finish this. So I read 2 Chronicles 2:20-17. You will not need to fight in this battle. You will not need. I want y'all to underline need, and I want you to underline battle. Then it says, position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord is with you. Now, need battle is. So when you look at the next word coming, position yourself, then that means we're talking about something that you have to do as an individual to get yourself lined with the Word of God and able to do battle with these opposing forces, to do battle with the fact that Satan is challenging your health, to do battle with the fact that Satan is dealing with your finance and the things, your bills. But God said that we're prosperous. God said that the cattle on the thousand hills belong to me. God said that he will make our way out of no way. God says, if my ways please you, please him, then he will give me the desires of my heart. I've got to seek God more than I've ever did. When I'm in trouble, when I'm going up against enemies that I don't know, when I'm going up against situations that I've never been up before in my life, I've got to position myself. Jehoshaphat positioned himself. He was fearful. He didn't know the outcome. He didn't know if he would make it. He didn't know two enemies, matter of fact, two enemies that were related to him were coming up against him. And that's how Satan is. He will allow close people, your friends, your family, to stab you in the back. Think. And those people that are closest to you will seemingly to hurt you. Situations seemingly to hurt you. But God said, I have allowed it to be so for my glory, because he wants to get the glory. God wants the glory. He wants us totally dependent on him, his word, and what he will do for us. We have been bought with a price. When Christ came and died on the cross for us, we have been bought with a price. God made us for his glory. Adam and Eve. God made man. He made the world. He made sky. He made the heavens. He made the earth. He made it all. And he made man for his glory. So if he made us for his glory and he didn't have to do it, God is God all by himself. But when Adam and Eve sinned, he said, look, you know what? I know y'all messed up, but I am going to work it out. I'm going to send a ram in the bush. I'm going to send my only begotten son to die for your sins. I'm going to send a lamb for sacrifice to die for you, because I love you that much, because I made you for my glory. And because I made you for my glory, then it behooves us as the people of God's glory to give ourselves back to him. God, what you want me to do? God, I worship you. God, I magnify you. God, I want to please you. God, I'm giving you my all in all. Don't know where you want me to go, but you send me. You guide me. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So when we look into Deuteronomy 20:4, it says, for the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. We have read in the Bible where it states that the battle belongs to God. Jehoshaphat had put his people again on fast, and they went before the Lord in prayer, and he told them, again, you don't have to worry. I'm with you. I got this. So when we see that the battle is a couple of things, the battle is not physical. Our weapons are not physical. Our weapons are able to pull down strongholds, arguments, and high things that present itself against God. The war is that which exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and that is the Word of God. Victory is achieved by bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. So when we look at John 15:19, we are not of this world. We've been bought with a price. So we have to begin and we have to see ourselves differently. We have to see our situations differently. We have to see who God is differently. We have to know that God is able. We have to understand that God is in control. And we have to position ourselves to understand this battle. The battle is not ours. John 15:19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. 17. John 17:14-16. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And I'm going to read this one. My time is running fast. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what is the good and the good that is good and acceptable, perfect will of the Lord. Again, we're talking about wrestle. Wrestling means, in Ephesians 6, talking about wrestling. Wrestle means to sway you in the wrong direction. Satan wants to sway you in the wrong direction towards him and not towards the Lord. Now, when we look at principalities, those are those leaders. These principalities, they are levels, and I really don't have time to get into that. I will get into it on next week, and then we will get into more of this lesson on this month. If you're enjoying this lesson, I want you to send me a text, 309-750-7584, and say, Dr. Carey, I'm enjoying it. If you have any questions, please text me on that same number. Let us go into prayer. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you. We magnify you. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the fact that you spoke to us on this morning. We pray now, God, that you strengthen each and every mind. We pray and ask, God, that you strengthen every believer in the name of Jesus. We pray and ask, God, that you pour this word into them. We pray and ask, God, that you'll give them another revelation of your word. Because, God, we can read one scripture one way, and we can read it the next time and you'll give us a total revelation. So, Father God, I thank you for my listeners. I thank you for those that are online with me on this morning. I pray, God, that you're moving forward powerfully and mindfully, God, and mighty, Father God. I bind the enemy. I bind every enemy. I bind those that are going through, that are suffering. I bind Satan in their lives right now. I speak healing and financial healing. Those that need employment, those that need touches in their body, those that need finances, heal, deliver, set free, Father God. Move mightily, God. Give us understanding. Give us clarity of your word, God. Break every yoke right now in the name of Jesus. I call for it. I decree it and declare, Father God, you said destroy. Destroy the yokes of bondage that are in the lives of your believers, God. Everyone that will hear this message, I declare a blessing to you. I decree the blood of Jesus over your life. The Lord will fight for you. He will break the yokes right now. The blood of Jesus, I declare it in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, this will be next week a part two to finish up this lesson. Certainly, I didn't get finished with everything, and I will start on part two of this lesson because this is powerful. We need to understand, equip yourselves. Saints of God, saints of the Most High God, understand that the battle was not yours and give God a praise. One of the things that Jehoshaphat did, he was fearful. And because of his fear, that pushed him, propelled him to seek God even the more. And our problems will propel us to seek God. Of course, you know, a lot of times we don't seek him when we should be seeking him. But when we get into trouble, we'll propel. We will go before. We will pray. We will cry out, help us, Lord God, I need you. I need you right now, Jesus. Before, we hadn't even been given him the time of day. We've been going to work and raising our kids or marriage or whatever we're doing. And we ain't even thank God. But when that situation come, that problem come, automatically we're going before the Lord. So we need to go before the Lord all the time. We need to have a stable relationship. So anyway, what you're saying, Dr. Carey, I'm saying that those problems propel us to seek God more. And when we seek God more, he shows up at the show out, showdown, because he is God and he wants all the glory. Tune in for part two on next week. We will finish up this exciting lesson. I don't know about you, but it's blessing my soul. I hope it's blessing your soul. I see you on next week again. If you have any questions, give me a call at 309-750-7584. If you say I want to register for class, classes are coming soon. Registration is now open. Certainly give me a text on that note too. Be blessed. I see you on next week. Bye-bye.